Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL at 100.3 FM. Time now for our Budweiser From the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge in Barton Roads. And we welcome in Fox 8's very own John Telich. JT, Happy New Year to you, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year to you, sir, and to all your great listeners. Let's see how good the 2020 year can be for all of us this year.
JT, when you and I spoke last week, I think we figured that this week we would be discussing a few changes. I don't think we anticipated discussing this many changes. A whole lot has gone down since our last conversation a couple days after Christmas. But, you know, we'll certainly have some fun with that a little bit later on in our conversation. But I want to begin with this. You tweeted something very powerful on New Year's Eve. You mentioned that you covered the Ted Stepien era here in Cleveland. Yep. And you mentioned that he was bad, but then you said he wasn't this bad. So I read that, and I immediately thought, wow. So please elaborate on that because, you know, the Haslams, in your mind, have eclipsed a guy that many remember as the worst owner in the history of sports in Cleveland.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know, back then, Ted really knew nothing. He thought he knew a lot about basketball, but obviously he didn't. And back then, Ted Stepien was a guy who was very successful with a business that he started pretty much from scratch. And he took that business to pretty great heights. Back in those days, it was at least a $100 million company. And so he buys the Cavaliers and he thinks he can, turn them around and make them a great franchise. And they were a fairly young franchise. They were, you know, obviously were only about 10 years old when he got them. And he had no idea what he was doing, absolutely none whatsoever. And he would he traded first-round picks away year after year, first-round picks. And that's not that's not a smart thing to do. The league was very concerned about the survival of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they actually stepped in and instituted a rule called the Stepien Rule. And the Stepien Rule was set up to disallow teams from, in consecutive years, trading away their number one draft picks. Now, the Haslams are in a league that it's not socialism, but, I mean, it's a league that they share. You know, there's a salary cap. There's the draft that gives the worst team the first pick the next year. It's set up to, like, lift up those that are not doing well. You know, it's like the old saying, give us your tired, your poor, you know, your huddled masses, and we can lift them up. That's what the NFL does. It gives you an opportunity to be, you know, turn your fortunes around. And they just have not been able to do it. They've made so many different choices. They listen to so many different people, and, you know, they settle into regimes. They don't give them long enough. They're very impatient with the people that they hire. And so, it's just as bad as Ted. And I can give you a personal story, and may he rest in peace. The late commissioner, David Stern, who passed away yesterday of a brain hemorrhage that he suffered 3 weeks ago, I was at the NBA All-Star game in Cleveland, 1981. I'm a young reporter. I'm 28 years of age that year. And I'm standing there on the sidelines before the game while the teams are warming up, and a gentleman comes up and introduces himself to me. He says, hello, I'm David Stern. I'm a general counsel for the National Basketball Association. He hadn't even become the commissioner yet. And he started to ask me a bunch of questions, and I'm sure he did the same with other reporters that were, you know, around the Cavaliers during the Stepien days. And he was exceptionally worried about the survival of the franchise. And he was asking me just questions on how things have been going and, you know, impressions of Ted Stepien himself. And I, of course, told him that, you know, it was pretty much a three-ring circus with Ted as the owner. And so, you know, not long after that, after heartbreak in Cleveland, the league did institute the Stepien Rule. And then in 1984, David Stern became the commissioner, and we all know what he did with his incredible tenure as the commissioner, perhaps the greatest commissioner in sports history. But it just goes back to, I mean, the league was concerned about the Cavaliers. Now, the difference, Bull, I would say, with the NFL and the Haslams, there's no real need for the NFL to step in or do anything to prohibit the Haslams from continually changing the way they operate their business, because the money's flowing. And certainly the Haslams aren't going to give up ownership of this team. They bought it for $1 billion, and it's worth $2 billion now. Show me where I can do that. So you can make the comparisons, which I did, that it being bad and historically bad, and it truly is. The amount of changeover between general managers and coaches, I mean, they pretty much are going to go through 5 GMs and go through 5 coaches already, going on to their 6th full-time head coach since they bought the team in 2012. So, again, it's change things around time, and a lot of questions as to, you know, who will ultimately get the job as the coach of the Browns. But so far, things just have not worked right for them in Berea.
So could you pinpoint a moment where it occurred to you that they were worse, or they've become worse? At what point? Was it within the last few days that you realized that they finally surpassed Ted Stepien?
Well, I think when they could only manage 1 win in 2 seasons, that's historically bad. And, you know, Stepien wasn't that bad. And so that was the first way that I came to, you know, see that as or make that kind of comparison. And so that's where I would say. I would say they got to a point where they could only win one. They won 4 games. They won 14 games in 4 seasons. And I think when you get to, Ted Stepien, you know, went through a couple of coaches. But, I mean, these guys are, Baker Mayfield will be playing for his 4th coach coming up this upcoming season. And he's only been playing 2 years in the National Football League. So that's where it comes in. I mean, certainly they don't have the sideshow. They're trying to do things as a franchise like most other franchises. Their game day operations, you know, you can't say that's bad, it's been fine. All that type of stuff is professional, et cetera. But the product on the field has been just as bad as what we saw with the Cavaliers back then.
And when you look at this process, I think from a fan's perspective, it's awfully difficult to go into it with any kind of confidence or reason to believe that this search is going to be any different than the others we've seen this past decade. Now, having said all that, of the names that you've heard, JT, which ones do you like the most?
Well, Mike McCarthy's got a lot of, you know, credence right now, I think, Bull. And here's the 7 guys that, you know, that we know of right now that, you know, that they're, I would call them legitimate candidates. Mike McCarthy, Josh McDaniels, Greg Roman, Robert Saleh, Brian Daboll, Kevin Stefanski, and Eric Bieniemy. Those are the guys that, you know, the radar is on. There are reports out there that there's interest in Urban Meyer, but to our knowledge, as we speak right now, there's been nothing reported that, you know, the Browns have any kind of an interview set up with him, but there are rumblings of that. And so, you know, I'm not making him quote unquote legit, but we know of these other guys because requests have been put in to have interviews with these guys and what have you. You know, Urban certainly is intriguing, and I think we've discussed this on, you know, other previous shows as the season's gone on. He's an intriguing one. But just of the guys that we know of right now, I think McDaniels, that might be a bit of a stretch. I'm not sure how he would mesh with the organization, who he would bring along. Would he bring Nick Caserio? Would Ziegler come with him? That's really not certain as we speak right now. You also got to think that, like, if McDaniels gets the job and he brings, you know, Ziegler, then you can certainly imagine that Nick Caserio's in play for other jobs, you know, other teams. And this year it's a little different. It's not the free-for-all you know, there's not as many teams that are going out looking for head coaches. And already one of those vacancies has been filled with Ron Rivera in Washington, D.C. Kevin Stefanski, because of what he's done, and I keep hearing, you know, the almost miracle that he's worked in Minnesota since he's been OCing with them, and then the fact that, you know, he was a favorite recommendation from Paul DePodesta just a year ago, but Dorsey chose Freddie. You'd have to say he is you know, probably of your top three, you'd go McCarthy, McDaniels, and Stefanski. I mean, this is just spitballing right now talking about candidates. Robert Saleh is a very intriguing prospect, but maybe it's not his time just yet. And Greg Roman, we know what he can do offensively. He is, it's a doggone shame he were not here this year with both OBJ and Jarvis here and with Baker in year two. That would, I think, have been a very interesting offensive year for this team. So I think of all the seven guys, I'd go McDaniels, Stefanski, and then Mike McCarthy. And there'd be not necessarily seamless, but it would be probably less of a transition if McCarthy got the job here, because it would probably mean the elevation of Elliott Wolf from assistant GM to a bigger title. And then, you know, they have a synergy that they had back in the days of, you know, working at the Green Bay. So interesting. I don't know how, you know, I don't know what to make of Urban Meyer, though. You know, he got out of football because of, you know, he had the issues with the cyst in his head that caused migraines. And it's kind of silly to assume that there's going to be no pressure coaching in the National Football League, especially in Cleveland, and especially with the ownership that would be, pretty much, you know, running the show and have their scrutiny placed upon him. That's a lot to ask.
Again, we're being joined by Fox 8's very own John Telich on our Budweiser From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Let's go back down that Urban Meyer road for just a moment here, because I think there would always be a power struggle. There's no question about that. You would have to wonder, too, how many years would they be willing to wait for Urban Meyer to try and turn things around? And we've, you know, seen this go down before. College coaches try and make the jump to the NFL. In most cases, it doesn't work. Urban Meyer's a different personality. And you also kind of wonder, does that style translate to health? Also a huge issue here as well. You know, people talk about how, you know, he was having the health issues coaching Ohio State, a team that's routinely in the running for a national championship. Well, if he was getting those headaches and that was making the cyst in his brain do whatever it is it was doing, causing him all kinds of agony, what do you think, you know, coaching the Browns would do to him here too? So that some of that has to factor in at least to some degree. And, you know, I think that's a fun name to talk about, but JT, it just doesn't seem realistic.
Well, I think, you know, the difference between the pro and the college game, and it's, let's just say the difference between being at Ohio State as the coach and then being the coach of the Cleveland Browns, the differences would be in college, he's the expo, he's pretty much the CEO of that program. He's the out front person. He's the mega recruiter. He's the, you know, he is, you know, he's the Queen of England, you know, I mean, basically. And, you know, all pomp and circumstance goes through the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. He's revered all over the state of Ohio. He's one of the top coaches in the country. His program has everything that you could possibly need and then some. He recruits, and, you know, that's a part of your year that's really difficult and draining, and having to, you know, try to convince 17-year-old kids to come to your place. And there's constant change, which in the pros continues to happen even more so nowadays, with people getting traded a little bit more frequently than they used to, where nobody got traded in the NFL. And obviously there's more games in the pros. So I would say, you know, in Cleveland, he would have you know, he wouldn't, I don't think he would come here just to be the coach. I mean, that would be kind of silly, since he had so much power in Columbus. You would assume that he would come here and want to be the guy that, you know, orders the groceries and then, you know, makes the meal, you know, and, you know, he would be like the Parcells, or I guess you would even say someone like, you know, Belichick in New England, that his fingerprints are all over what they do each and every Sunday. I don't know if he's up for it. I mean, certainly he did a great job as a commentator this year, and he doesn't speak, you know, he's not going to speak publicly, I don't believe, on, you know, whether or not he, you know, wants to get back into the game. There's rumors and stuff out there saying that, you know, the only job in the pros he would take would be the Dallas job. And I know as we speak right now, you know, they haven't officially, I haven't seen anything in the media that they've officially severed ties with Jason Garrett. It's kind of like a hard breakup, if a breakup's going to take place, because he's been there so long and he is kind of like the family with Jerry Jones. And so, you know, could Urban work with Jimmy Haslam, with, you know, the pressures that go with being the head coach of the Cleveland Browns? I don't know. I mean, he's certainly intriguing. I always thought, like Jim Tressel, nobody gave that guy a chance when he was at Youngstown State, and the rumors started going back in around 2000 that he could potentially be a big candidate to go to Ohio State. Everybody poo-pooed it and said, you know, this guy, it's 1AA, how can he make the jump? And I always thought Jim Tressel was just an incredibly disciplined, organized leader, and a great game day coach, game day manager. And he did that at Youngstown State. I saw no reason to think he couldn't do the same thing with better players down in Columbus. And so Urban Meyer the same way. He's a, you know, very good game day coach. He's innovative offensively. Look what he did with Bowling Green and Utah. Look what he did down in Florida with Tebow. What he did at Ohio State with, you know, juggling those different quarterbacks and still winning a national championship. Certainly, you know, has a lot of cachet to his name. And but again, I think there's, right now it's just in the rumor stage. It's very early in the coaching search. We'll see what happens. And but he's so bold. He's so intriguing of a name. He really is.
There's no question. He's perhaps the most intriguing name out there. There's no doubt about that. But, well, another guy who was intriguing all throughout the year was Jarvis Landry. He made some comments earlier this week talking about the Arizona game, hinting at some of the dysfunction. And he's also going to be out for a little while here. They're talking about 6 to 8 months. What are the details on his injury?
All right. He told us late in the year that he had a bit of a crack on his sacrum, and that was giving him all kinds of pain. And so he had an MRI on Monday. He told us on Monday that he would know the results on Friday, whether or not he would need surgery. And surgery, it would involve about 6 months or so, 6 to 8 months. It obviously depends on the person and all that stuff, to be able to bounce back. So you wouldn't see Jarvis Landry literally until August, you know, pretty much in camp. And, you know, they would be ramping him up for the season. Now, if surgery is not, you know, something that they do, I don't know what they would do to get him right without surgery or how long that would entail. But, you know, I just have to say this guy, you know, the pain that he was in, and for him to go out and have the kind of year that he did, he's had two straight years in Cleveland with 80-plus catches. I think that's the only receiver in Browns history to do that. I could be wrong, but I believe that's is a fact. And for him to do what he did, that speaks volumes about how feisty, how tough, how, you know, how good of a pro football player he is. So they truly are blessed to have him here. And oh, by the way, the guy that brought him here is no longer here. So and that's the Dorse.
You tweeted a couple days ago, maybe they should just change the logo to a revolving door. That might be more appropriate, right?
Yeah, it's been comical, but you know, as many times as the Haslams have made moves, sometimes they haven't given those moves long enough to see if they work out, and this is another, you know, another wash, rinse, repeat kind of a cycle that they're in, and I have no idea who they're going to select. I don't know if whoever they select and what GM is married to them, if that's going to coexist. But all you have to do, I think if you go back and reread the Seth Wickersham piece that was done on ESPN.com, I think it was actually posted about 6-7 months ago, and it caused quite the stir. If you just go back and read that again, it's still it still very much applies to what's been going on in Berea. It's just been it's been a circus, a soap opera, name any adjective that you want to it. It's truly been amazing to cover it.
Yeah, it certainly has. Well, JT, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Happy New Year to you and yours. We look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Sounds good, buddy. Thanks again. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, JT. Again, that's Fox 8's very own John Telich joining us on the Budweiser From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We'll come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.